This is City on the Hills podcast. We hope this message becomes a revelation in your heart and will encourage you to live a Christ-centered life. Thanks for checking out our podcast. Here's today's message.
Thank you for your favor, Lord. We want to just speak your blessing over the city. Lord, we want to speak your blessing. Your word says in Jeremiah 29 verse 7 that we need to seek the prosperity and the peace of our city, because when it prospers, we prosper. God, right now, as a church, Lord, we want to thank you that we can pray over the city of Clarksthorpe, this Kosh area. We speak your blessing upon every part of the city, God, that this city would experience your favor, that this city would experience your blessing in the mighty name of Jesus, Father. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for protection. We thank you for health over our city, that our city would experience health, wholeness, healing, restoration, favor, God, peace in our city, God, in Jesus' name. We speak peace over our city, God. We speak peace over our city in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Friends, right now, even as you are watching, I don't know what city you're watching from. If you're watching from Clarksthorpe or from this Kosh area, we want to say the City on Hill Church, we exist. We are a city within the city. We exist to be a blessing to the city. And even right now, today, I believe God has put us here for such a time as this. Not to be blessed only, but to be a blessing. And the Bible says that God blesses us so that through us, all the nations of the earth can be blessed. And if you are a believer in another city, you might be finding yourself in New York City right now as you're watching, or in Manila, the Philippines, or maybe you're watching from in Germany, or maybe you're busy watching from London in the UK, or maybe you'll be watching from Gaborone in Botswana. I don't know where you're watching from. Maybe it could be Cape Town. Could you, as a believer, trust God to bless your city? Can we look for ways to be a blessing to our city in Jesus' name? And I just want to declare today, even for us as a church, City on Hill Church, we are going to trust God to be a blessing to our city. That's why we are here. We're not here for ourselves. We're here to be a blessing to our city. And so even as we are here together today, I believe we can trust God. So can we just pray? Can we take a few moments? Lord, we want to speak your blessing. We want to speak your peace. And also, Lord, your restoration over our city. Lord, when it comes to people in business, when it comes to people in the education or in medical field, or even when it comes to people in the political arena, Lord, or even when it comes to services, we pray for protection over our city. Lord, those that have been affected by this virus physically ill, we pray for healing right now. Bring healing and wholeness to people, Father. And those that have lost loved ones, Lord, it breaks my heart, even just for us this week, just hearing about two dear people that we were closely connected to, one of the daughters in our house. Lord, we want to pray for Dorcas's family. And Lord, for us as a church, we just right now, we cry out, God, we cry out for healing, we cry out for peace and for comfort by your Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Awesome, friends. I'm so excited to be able to get into God's Word, and it's a privilege to be able to share God's Word with you today. And I'm going to trust God to preach a bit shorter, just because I realize that it's not so easy for you to watch this a long message online. But if you are watching with us online, I want to ask you, maybe right now, quickly just comment, maybe share this message. Maybe you can share it with a friend, maybe you can share the link. And if you're watching on YouTube, hopefully you're gathering your family, and we're going to get into God's Word together. Maybe you're watching at one of the sites, and as you're watching this morning, I believe that God has got an appointment with you and me today. What I want to talk about today, before we get into our new series, we've got Peter Rasmussen with us next Sunday, and then after that we're going to go into a whole series on radical faith, on how to walk by faith in times of fear, in times of famine. We need to walk in radical faith. But I do believe that God right now just wants us to pause and take a moment and learn how to be fruitful in spite of famine. This is what we need. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've been facing famine at many levels. I've had energy famine. I've had financial famine. I've had some faith famines. I feel like I've had some hope famine, some peace famine. There's a lot of famine going around. There's a lot of famine. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of famine going around. And A.W. Tozer said the following. He says, no matter what the circumstances, we Christians should keep our heads. Keep our heads. Remember, we've been speaking about setting our minds and our hearts on Christ. We should keep our heads. He says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. It is a dismal thing to see a son of heaven cringe in terror before the sons of earth. It's a dismal thing. Us as sons and daughters of heaven cannot afford to cringe before the sons of earth. The sons of earth need to see the sons of heaven having a source that is unseen, having a hope that is never failing, having a peace that passes all understanding, having a joy unspeakable. The sons of heaven need to access the resources of heaven right now, because earth does not have what it takes. Amen. Come on. Now, I've been speaking to myself, because remember, John Piper says we spend too much time listening to ourselves and not enough time speaking to ourselves. I've been speaking to myself over the last few weeks. I've been speaking to myself, and I want to ask you in this time of famine, what is coming out of your mouth in this time of famine? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I've been speaking to myself, and I'll never forget, because we faced a serious famine a few years ago when we were building the building. I'm standing in a building, literally a 2,000 square meter building, built cash. We don't owe a cent on it. It's Jesus's building, and us as a church, we get to enjoy it with Jesus. It doesn't belong to a man, and it doesn't belong to a bank. It belongs to Him for His glory and for His purpose. But when we built this building, we got to a place where all the money dried up. Doop, boom. It was like nothing happened. It was half built. It was ugly. It was a building site. It was just bricks and mortar. And I mean, we had prayer meetings here, but I was scared, fearful, negative. I felt like the world was coming to an end. I wanted to run away. To be honest, when you hit famine, the first thing people do when they hit famine is they want to run away. I wanted to run away. And I'll never forget really getting to the end of myself. I mean, I'll never forget walking this land, praying, and knowing that it stopped. I mean, all the money just stopped. It felt like the provision just stopped flowing. The flow just got clogged up. And I could hear a voice. It wasn't the voice from heaven. It was the voice of the enemy. The enemy speaking to me, saying, it's never going to happen. You can just quit right now. I'd rather try and sell it just like it is. Just sell it the way it is. Enemy just saying, it's never going to get done. Times are tough. Finances are difficult. There's no money anywhere. As if God cannot provide for what He wants to do. That's exactly what was going. The enemy was saying, just give up. Just stop right now. And I'm here to say that you cannot stop the lies by thinking them away. You got to speak them away. And I had to speak to myself. I needed to say to myself who God is. I needed to say to myself how faithful He is. I needed to say to myself how good He is. I needed to speak to myself about how He provided in the past. So if He done it before, He can do it again. I needed to speak to myself. I want to ask you, are you speaking to yourself in this time? Over the last few weeks, my kids are probably tired of the song. We're going to end with a song today. I've been listening to the song, because the song says, oh my soul, sing to the God of creation. Oh my soul, sing His praise again. You need to sing, speak to your soul, and sing. The Lord asked me, He said, Mark, where do you look? Where do you look in this time? Because where we look is where we live, we've seen. Genesis chapter 30, verse 37 to 39, we see what happened with Jacob. Jacob had this amazing scenario where he had livestock, and Laban and him agreed that he could have the striped and the spotted livestock. So because he could have the striped and the spotted livestock, he had a plan. And he took these reeds, and you can go and read it in Genesis 30, but he took the reeds and he made little stripes on them, and he made little spots on them, and then where the animals mated, he put these little sticks in the water troughs. And when they saw it, what they saw was what they reproduced. All of a sudden they had offspring that had spots and stripes. And the Lord said this to me. He said, Mark, do you see what happens? The enemy knows this. That's why he puts the news in front of you. Because he knows if he can put in front of your eyes negativity, doubt, despair, if he can put that in front of you, guess what you're going to do? You're going to reproduce doubt, despair, negativity, lies. And the Lord said to me, Mark, in famine, you need to fix your gaze. in famine. If you want to be fruitful in spite of famine, I love that. I chose to go in spite because it means I'm spiting famine by looking at the right place. And we're going to unpack Genesis 26 today. And for me, Genesis 26 is just an amazing moment of famine. I'm here to say to you that famine is something that happened a lot. Famine is guaranteed. It says in verse 1 of Genesis 26, it says, "Now there was a famine in the land besides the previous famine in Abraham's time. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar." Listen to this. Isaac is finding himself in a famine, but this is nothing new because Abraham also had a famine. And you know that Joseph also had a famine. And you know that Elijah also lived in famine. And you know that Elisha also lived in famine. Famine is standard practice. Famine comes to every generation. We get shocked because there's famine in the world right now. Famine is guaranteed. Jesus said, "In this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world." Famine is a guarantee. It's not a maybe, it's a when. Famine comes to everyone. But I'm going to show you today that the believer, the child of God, experiences famine differently than the child of the Philistines, the child that is not close to Jesus. The one that has Christ in his life, we both get storms, but the one whose life is built on the rock stands. The one whose life is built on the sand, he falls. Famine's going to come to everyone. The question is, what do you do in famine? Look at what happens to Isaac, because he can be sustained supernaturally in the midst of famine. Verse 2 says, "The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, 'Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live.'" Now watch this. The biggest mistake believers make is they treat famine like the world treats famine, like the Philistines treat famine. We should treat famine like the sons and the daughters of God treats famine. The way a son of God, the way a child of God treats famine is by hearing the voice of God. I'm here to say to you, the biggest mistake we're making right now is we are listening to everyone else and we're not hearing the voice of heaven. We've been speaking as elders and we're going to have a very, very, very important deacons meeting this week. Because I don't know about you, but leading a church in a famine like this is extremely difficult. You cannot go on what we did in 2018. Because that life is gone. You cannot go on what they're doing in this church down the road. Because it's all different. Everything is different. But you know what we have? We have a weapon. A weapon we can hear the still small voice. We can hear the voice behind us saying, "This is the way you should go." Now, more than ever, is the time for us to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. Now is the time for us to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I remember one day I went on to the Vaal Dam with a friend of mine and we were sailing. And I remember while we were sailing on the Vaal Dam, we were catching this wind and it was amazing. We were powering forth. And all of a sudden, boom, the wind died. I was like, what happened? And amazing how he said to me, "Quickly, let's turn the sail." And all we had to readjust the sail to catch another wind. And there we went. I learned this, that a child of God catches the winds of the Spirit. A child of God is not a predictable, systematic, "I'll just do what everyone else does." A child of God says, "What does my Father want me to do?" Amen? Hear God. What works for others will probably not work for you. Hear God. Hear God for your family. Hear God for your workplace. Hear God for our church. Hear God for your ministry. Hear God. We do the hearing God thing. Amen? Verse 3 says, "Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and will bless you." Watch here. God is giving him an instruction and a promise. I love this. When we hear God in famine, there's promise that comes with hearing God. He says, "For to you and your descendants I will give these lands, and I will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham." Friends, there's power in staying. In famine, I would like to say to you, friends, If God has not told you to change anything, stay. If God has not, friends, some couples, some married couples need to hear this today. Stay in the marriage. Some people need to hear this in their workplace. You want to leave that job. Unless God says to you leave, stay. Some people are wanting to leave churches. Now is not the time to leave churches. Now is the time to stay and be committed and faithful in your local church. If you're in another city and you're part of another church, or you're part of another church in our city, stay planted in your church. Stay planted in your small group. Stay planted where you are. Stay unless God says otherwise. In famine, one of the biggest things we do is we want to abort. We want to leave. When there's famine in my marriage, I want to leave. When there's famine in a relationship and it takes strain, instead of leaving the relationship, let's stay. Amen? Verse 4 says, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars. Watch the promise. In the sky, and I will give them all the lands. And through your offspring, all nations on the earth will be blessed. Isn't that amazing? Now, I want to say this. I said, firstly, when you're in famine, hear God. Secondly, when he says stay, stay, obey him, right? But thirdly, what I wanted to say is engage with the promise of God in the famine. Engage with the promise of God. God said this to me, the devil is in despair, but God is in the promise. The devil is in despair. The devil will focus on your despair, on your faults and your mistakes of the past. God is always the God of vision, the God of hope, the God of promise. What carries us in famine is the promise of God. Amen? Verse 5 says, because Abraham obeyed me and did everything I required of him, keeping my commands, my decrees, and my instructions. So Isaac stayed in Gerar. Isaac obeyed God, and God said to Isaac, obey me like your father obeyed me. Your father of faith obeyed me. Now, obedience is not something that we do to earn God's approval. Obedience is a response to God's approval. I obey because God loves me. Now, when we go to verse 6 to 11, I don't have time to read it today because I am trying to preach a bit shorter. But verse 6 to 11 speaks about how Isaac lied in famine. He made a big mistake. He told them that Rebekah is his sister. Now, this is not a new lie, because his dad told a similar lie when his dad went to Egypt. Said that Sarah was his sister. She was his half-sister, but you know the story. So Abraham lied. Now Isaac's also lying. And I'm thinking to myself, my Bible says you must not lie, and slap you. And now God's going to leave Isaac and say, Yaf, it's an evil word, and you must be a fool. Sorry for those who don't understand Afrikaans. If you don't want to hear, then you must feel the pain. But what happens is I see a God that is merciful to Isaac in the midst of his mistakes. Because can I say something to you? That famine has the ability to shake us up a bit. And we make mistakes in famine. I felt the Holy Spirit say to me that today I need to speak to some people that have made some mistakes, and you are beating yourself up about your mistakes. And what I love about my God is he loves to show mercy. Come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy, to find grace and help for time of need. God is a God of mercy. Whenever the Israelites messed up, they said, be merciful to God, and God was merciful to them. You know what I love about famine? Famine is opportunities for you and me to experience God's mercy. Mercy, grace is getting what I don't deserve. But mercy is not getting what I do deserve. I deserve judgment, I don't get it. I deserve punishment, I don't get it. I'll tell you a personal story. Marie and I, we've been investing in properties for over 15 years. And I made some mistakes, some investment mistakes. And so this COVID hits and I'm like, Lord, I'm overexposed. I mean, I've got some tenants are struggling to pay. We've got just too much. We need consolidate. We need mercy. But the problem is, no one gets bonds and loans in COVID time, and no one's got money to buy a house. And we need to sell a house that was a little bit more expensive. It was It was not an easy house to sell. It's not a cheap house, a more expensive house. And we like, Lord, I don't think we're going to sell this house. And I'm being honest with you. I was like, Lord, I don't deserve it. I deserve judgment. I made a mistake. It's me. I made the mistake. I invested unwisely. I made the mistake. Lord, yes, I'm guilty. I'm wrong. But I said, Lord, please be merciful. I said, God, I don't deserve it. Please be merciful. I deserve to feel, but please be merciful. I prayed for mercy. I asked God to be merciful. We found someone. They bought our house, put down a 10% deposit, had a bond approved within 3 days. Bought a house. Boom. We moved out of our house. Like this. The mercy of God. If you are sitting here today and you're far from God, God wants to be merciful to you. Come back to Him. If you're close to God and you messed up in a marriage, you messed up in a relationship, you messed up with your kids, you messed up financially, you messed up at work, I've got awesome news for you. You've got a God that's slow to anger and rich in love. He wants to show His mercy to you. Can you trust Him for mercy? Come on. Expect mercy. Expect mercy. Isaac didn't deserve the mercy, but he received it. Verse 12. Now, I want to get to Genesis 26, verse 12. It says, and Isaac planted crops in that land. Can you say that land? Not the land or a land, that land. The very land where God told him to stay. The very land where the Philistines were ruling. The very land that was out of his comfort zone. The very place that he thought is famine. The very place of famine was the place where he sowed, was the place where he planted. Until God moves you on, plant at that workplace now. Until God moves you on, put everything into that business now. Until God says otherwise. And I'm here to say to you, in that marriage, put into that marriage now. Sow in that land. Sow right there where the famine is right now. Sow in that land. It says, and that same year he reaped 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. Because he was good? No. Because God blessed him. Could I prophesy? I'm trusting God that a year from now, we're going to look back at our relationships. We're going to look back at our small groups. We're going to look back at our influence in our cities. We're going to look back at our workplaces. We're going to look back at our families. And we're going to say, God, yes, it was lockdown. Yes, the whole world came to a standstill. But I sowed into my family. I sowed into that land. Look, I reaped 100-fold. I'm not just talking about physical stuff, friends. How about the eternal? How about looking to the unseen? Because when we look, we walk by faith and not by sight. When we look to the seen, that's temporary. The unseen is eternal. Amen? So how do we sow into the land? How do we sow? Can I give you a few handles today? How do you sow in a time of famine? Number one, speak life. Speak life. The way to sow is to speak life. You've got to change your language when you're sowing in famine. When you're sowing into a relationship, when you're sowing into your workplace, when you're sowing into your church. Friends, I want to say this to you. What you need to do right now, if you're in a local church, sow into that local church. Sow prayer, sow love, sow support, sow service in any way. Sow. If you're in a city, sow into that city. If you're in a school, sow into that school. If you're in a workplace, sow into that workplace. Yeah, but Mark, you don't understand. We only have 3 days a week to work. Yes, use the 3 days a week. And so, how do we sow? I speak life. They dead, dry bones, Ezekiel. Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel says, God says, can these bones live? Ezekiel's like, I don't think so, but God, you know. Well, let's not make a verdict. Let not us say the bones can't live. God, if you say I'm going to speak, I'll speak. I'm going to speak life over these dry bones. I'm going to speak life over the finances. I'm going to speak life over the physical illness. We as a church, we're going to speak life over our city. Amen? What do you see? I want to ask you. He says, I see dry bones. God says, I see an army. Speak to your soul. I want to say, don't only speak to the dry bones. Speak to the soul. Psalm 103, verse 1 says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." Another translation says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." You speak to your soul. Your soul will listen to all the lies if you don't give it the truth. Amen? Become a prisoner of hope. Become a prisoner of hope. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 12 says, "Return to your stronghold, you prisoners of hope." See, when you're in famine, the way to sow in famine is hope. No one sows without hope. You cannot find a farmer that sows without hope. The reason why people hold back in famine is they don't have hope. Become a prisoner of hope. If you're in a marriage, or if you're in a relationship, or if you're in a ministry, or if you're involved in a church, or you are involved in anything, any business, you've got to trust God for hope, so that you can sow. Verse 13 says, "The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy." Now that means, I believe, prosperity of the soul, spirit, and the body. Not just, he says, "I want your soul to prosper." I want you to prosper, brethren. He says, even as your soul prospers. He says he became very wealthy. Verse 14, "He had so many flocks," watch this, "that the Philistines envied him." He had so many flocks and servants, the Philistines envied him. Can I prophesy this? It's time for the church of God to rise and to say, "Listen, Lord, we've got peace that passes all understanding, that the people of the world," if you're far from God and you're watching, "the people of the world will envy us." Say, we want what they've got. Not, "Hey, the church is again fighting and complaining." No, the church is shining. We are joyful. We are hopeful. We are faithful. Fool, in Jesus' name. See, for most people, Genesis chapters 26 was all about the hundredfold return. Now, actually, when you go and study Genesis 26, it's not only the hundredfold return was the byproduct. The secret of Genesis 26 is the wells that Isaac drew from. You can see in Genesis 26, he drew from Abraham's wells. So that was wells that his father of faith, dug. I want to ask you in this season, dig wells and open some of the wells that the leaders in your life and the people that have gone before us have dug, and let's draw from those wells. Wells are like your quiet time every day. Wells is their prayer life. Wells, it's Sunday celebrations. Wells, it's light group. That's a well. Draw from wells. The life of God, the unseen, gets drawn from wells. All you see, the well, you see the top. You see the, it's a light group. It's a prayer meeting. It's a celebration. It's just a, it's an outreach. It's a well at the top, but there's an unseen source that no one sees. Draw from the unseen. What Isaac does, he ends up even digging his own wells. Now, Keir Taylor said this. He said that we don't dig wells on the mountaintops. Where do they dig wells? They dig wells in the valleys. Famine is an opportunity to dig some new wells. Hello? Because fruitfulness flows from abiding in the unseen. That's what it says in John 15, verse 5. Jesus said, "I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." The secret in this season is we find ourselves, we draw from Christ Jesus, the well that never runs dry, Jesus. We draw from him the life of God. We find our life in Jesus. We find our peace in Jesus. We find our joy in Jesus. We find our hope in Jesus. We find our faith in the author and the finisher of our faith. We draw from Jesus. We abide in Jesus, because when we abide in him, we bear much fruit. But apart from him, we just become like the Philistines in famine. You can be fruitful in the midst of famine. C.S. Lewis wrote, he said, "God can't give us peace and happiness apart from himself, because there is no such thing." Listen to that. Peace and happiness is not possible apart from him, from Christ. You want to be fruitful in famine? Abide in him. Draw your life from him. Draw your peace from him. Draw your power from him. If you're far from God today, I've got amazing news for you. You can move from being a Philistine in the famine to being a child of God in the famine. But if you're close to God, I want to ask you today to respond. I want to ask you to hear God. I want to ask you to open up some wells, to draw from the unseen, to speak to yourself and to speak to your dry bones, to embrace the life of God, to experience the presence and the power of God.
Thanks for joining us for today's message. Don't forget to check out our website or visit City on a Hill International on Instagram or Facebook for our updates, celebration times, or ways you can get involved. We are also streaming our message on Facebook Live, so make sure you join us or share the post. Thanks again for checking out our podcast. We'll see you soon.